Well, good morning. We'd like to welcome you this morning to Ebenezer. If you are a first-time guest, there's a Connect card in your pew. If you would like to fill that out, that gives us the information that we need to know. And we have a gift for you in the Connection Center as well. And so today's a very special day. Today is what we're calling Camp Sunday, okay? And this year here at Ebenezer, we're actually putting on our own church camp here on campus over the summer. And normally we go to Fuge at different locations through Lifeway. But this year we're going to do something different. And so we're going to have a church camp right here in our community. We've got several other churches that are involved that are bringing their kids from Jefferson and Gainesville and Commerce and all other places. And so it's going to be a great time. And we have Pastor Kevin. He's going to be speaking with us this morning. Pastor Kevin is going to be our camp pastor for that week. And I'm honored that he's going to be with us that week. And I couldn't think of a better person to be here that week. So the dates for camp are June 21st through the 25th. And it's a day camp. And so it'll start at 8:30 in the morning. It'll end at 8 o'clock at night. So if your kids are worried about missing practice or whatever it is, the great thing about it is they can go to practice and then you can just bring them here to the church. We've got all kinds of activities going on during that day. We've got local youth pastors that are speaking that morning, and then Pastor Kevin comes that night. Our student band that you saw this morning, they're going to be leading us in music, and it's going to be absolutely awesome. And I'm very excited about it. I actually was able to be a part of, it's kind of weird that I'm the youth pastor here now, but I was able to actually go to Breakaway Camp back when I was a junior in high school with Ebenezer. And so it's awesome that we're able to do that here and to have Pastor Kevin. And it's just going to be a great time for the students. The cost is $75. So it's the cheapest camp around, okay? And so it's one of those deals where we're just excited to bring kids in, to hit them with the gospel, and for their lives to be changed. And so I'm going to ask Pastor Kevin to come up. Y'all please give Pastor Kevin a warm welcome this morning.
Well, good morning, Ebenezer. Oh, come on. Now you can do better than that. It's Camp Sunday. Y'all know what that means, right? And you know you're going to have to turn this down. Because we're going to shout and get excited this morning. Are you awake? You will be in just a minute, I promise, okay? Hey, I'm Kevin Hornsby, my wife JoJo. Give it up for JoJo. She is the second best thing that ever happened to me, and the only way I know to describe her is We've been married 33 years and have three children, and what an exciting life we get to lead. I was just thinking this morning when we woke up, sleeping in your parking lot, it was a little weird. I was looking out the window and looking for deer because we saw all kind of deer tracks back there. I think you guys have deer in this backfield sometimes. And I was just thinking, Lord, everything we do, all the work, all the planning, everything that you've done in our lives, everything we've learned, you've brought us to this point and for this moment. Well, everything that we do in this life is for this moment right now. The next 30 minutes is why God has done everything that he has done in our lives. And I have a message to speak for you. I'm going to speak it in just a minute, but I did want to just give you just a little bit of information so that you know who is talking to you. I know I look strange. I am not as strange as I look, okay? This at age 54, this is the best I can do. Say a prayer for me, okay? They say you're not getting any better than you are right now. That scares me, but here I am. And so God has called us into full-time evangelism. I had a pastor friend. I told him, he said, what are you going to do after camp ministry? I said, I believe God wants us to travel and take camp to churches all over the Southeast. And he said, are you sure God's called you to do that? because it's tough. And then we had no idea 2 years ago when God called us into this that there was going to be a worldwide pandemic. So the first year we had about 35 events, and we just saw hundreds and hundreds of people come to Christ and decisions made for Christ. And then in January of last year, this pandemic started coming to fruition, and we had a year of cancellations, COVID, and a cancer diagnosis. So my wife was diagnosed with follicular cancer. She had her thyroid removed and just went through a second round of radiation, and she just had a full body scan, and they said, "You are cancer free." So glory to God. So even though bad things happen in this life, man, if we went around the room, we could tell story after story after story of tragedies that have come into our own lives and how we weathered the storm. But we also, if we had the time this morning, we could go person to person and we could all tell stories of God's grace in the middle of tragedy and how he took something that was terrible and he turned it into something amazing. And I know that I'm talking to saints of God who understand what I'm talking about this morning. I love your church name, Ebenezer. Love it. Ebenezer means stone of hope. Stone of hope. You know, when the Israelites walked through the Jordan River, the Bible says that God told them to pick up stones, all the priests to pick up stones, and to carry those stones with them from the riverbed to the other side. When they got to the other side of the river, they stacked those stones up in a small tower to represent that God had parted the Jordan for this Israel, just like he had parted the Red Sea for the Israel that came out of Egypt that was in bondage for 400 years. Are y'all hearing me? It is a place of remembrance. We look at those stones and we have hope. I like your hashtag for Ebenezer. It's a place of hope. It's a place for hope. Listen, I know you guys come here every week and you enjoy the incredible opportunity to be a part of this church in this community, man. This church is doing it right. Listen, folks, we go into some churches and it's not like this. Man, you guys have a sweet core group of people. Everything you guys do is so incredibly stinking professional. It's amazing what you guys do. And we don't need those projectors to work to worship God. Could I get an amen in the house? Yeah, the projectors were on the fritz and they're brand new. But that's just how it goes sometimes. And it's so cool because I love how hard Crosby and Matt and you guys in the band, I love how hard you guys work to pull this thing together and to make it incredible. And all churches that we go to are not always like that. Thank you. Thank you for representing God well, Ebenezer. Thank you that this is a place of hope and that your steeple that is above us right now is a stone of help for people in this community. I love it. I love it. You know, as a 10-year-old boy, I stood just a couple of miles from here, just below the graveyard, and looked down into the valley of the road that came out of Toccoa Falls. It was 1977. Me and my cousin stood at the top of that hill and watched an entire roof of a house float by in the flood of 1977. I stood right there. I witnessed it myself personally. But isn't Toccoa Falls College also an Ebenezer? Because just because all that dam broke and all that water flooded through there and 37 people lost their lives and a whole trailer park was washed away and a portion of the campus was washed away. Have you driven through the campus lately, my friends? It's an Ebenezer. It's a stone of help. We think back then and say, oh, what a tragedy. We look at it now and we say, look what God did as a result of that tragedy. Are you following me? So you're probably wondering, is this guy ever going to preach? I am. Man, preaching, all preaching is just a testimony of what God has done and the truth of his word coming out in someone's life. And you never heard of me before because I'm nobody. I'm nobody. I'm a no name. I grew up in Poole's Mobile Manor Trailer Park. I'm a trailer park kid. And there's nothing great about me, but the only thing that's great about me is my God. Amen? And he has put a word in my heart for you this morning. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter. And while you're looking for that, I just wanted to say, in the back, there are some information cards. We are Survivor Thrive Evangelistic Ministries. And very simply, we just, when people call us, we go to where they are and we stand up and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what Survivor Thrive is all about. You say, why do you call it Survivor Thrive? Because everybody in here is the survivor of something. Am I right? All of us have survived something. Do you want to just be a survivor and hang on by your fingernails and just try to make it through this life? Or do you want to thrive? See, Survivor Thrive, it's not survive or thrive. It's Survivor Thrive. It's an imperative command. And all through the Word of God, the Bible tells us, yes, I know you have survived some hardships, some pain, some suffering, some agony. You may have some more to suffer yet still. But you can thrive right in the middle of whatever it is, the crisis that you're going through. So we are Survivor Thrive. It's a joy to be able to travel and do what we do. I'd rather do this than eat when I'm hungry. Amen. And this is just an information card. If you know somebody who could use our services, you say, well, how much does it cost to have you? Nothing. It costs nothing to have us. If you call us, we're coming. If you want to give us something, fine. If you don't have anything, that's cool too. Because my God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mind, and he owns the hills. Could I get an amen, church? Yeah, yeah. So it's so cool. God just blows our minds. Let me tell you one other thing, and then we'll read the scripture. Y'all okay? Am I getting on y'all's nerves yet? Listen, y'all, I'm not excited yet, but I'm about to get excited. Y'all believe this thing that we call the gospel? Do y'all believe in this person that we say that we actually follow? Does it excite your heart? Do you get more excited about talking about the things of God than you do about Atlanta United or the Atlanta Falcons or the, should I continue with any ball teams? I don't see anybody hooping and hollering. Listen, my wife is the biggest Atlanta United fan. She absolutely loves it. I think she's more of a soccer player fan than the actual game because those soccer players are really handsome. But anyway, that's between her and the Lord. She loves soccer, and I thought she was going to freak out last night because we were out here in the motorhome, and she couldn't find the game. She couldn't get it. And it's on a local station, 69, the CW. We should be able to get it. And she was about to freak out, but she got it. So, you know, we should get more excited about the things of God than we do about a soccer game. Could I get an amen in here? If y'all will talk to me, I'll make sure you get out on time. Okay? What's bad about having back-to-back services is a little pressure on the preacher. You guys are like, yeah, that's why I come to this service. Because you have to stop by 10:05 because everybody's coming in here at 10:30. Is that right? Oh, I just want us to have some fun this morning. And I want to remind you of some things that probably saints of God like you already know, but it's good. Paul said to a lot of the churches that he wrote letters to, it's good for me to bring you into remembrance of these things again. Amen. Let me ask you a question. What are you hoping for? If Ebenezer is a place of hope and you show up here every Sunday, let me ask you something. What are you hoping for? Is it something that you actually could make happen? Or is this something so big and so mammoth that if God does not show up and do it by his own divine appointment, it is never going to happen? What are you hoping for? Last January, Jody and I were praying that God would provide for us a motorhome. The year before that, we did 35 events, and there was one weekend there where we stayed in 4 different hotels in 6 days. You say, oh, that sounds good. About the third hotel, it's not fun anymore. You're gathering up all your stuff and you're going to the next place, and it's all fun and it's all an adventure and we love every bit of it, but it was harder on us to just move in and out of hotels than it was to just drive the motorhome to the place, stay there, and speak for God. So we said, Lord, if it's your will that we do this, we ask you to provide for us a motorhome. It was so funny. Jody was having a conversation with her sister. And her sister said, are y'all going to get a motorhome? And Jody said, yes. Boy, I love your faith. And Lori said, well, how are you going to get it? Were you going to finance it? And we don't really have jobs, so we really can't finance anything. So that's that. And her sister said, well, how are you going to get it? And Jody said, God's going to give it to us. Nobody laughed. So her sister said, okay. You know, one of those okays. And it was so funny because in February of last year, we were in a revival in Perry, Florida, and we were there with them for 4 or 5 days. We spoke in the school every day and spoke in the church, and God was just doing an amazing work. Thursday night of that revival, a 17-year-old girl came up to us after the service and said, I don't know how to tell you this, but God just told me to give you $100,000. Now, when you're trusting God for something, God never does it the way you think he's going to do it. Am I right? And he never uses who. Now, we know some millionaires. In fact, we know two families that are multi-billionaires with a B. They never offered to give us a motorhome. It's funny because in your own human thinking, you're thinking, well, they could do it. And God, if you just impress this upon their heart, then they could help us. And we, you know, and you kind of think that way. But the truth is, God said, I got this 17-year-old girl that 1 year ago was in a car accident right out in front of the place where we were standing when she gave us the news. And a logging truck hit her head on, and it destroyed her knee, and she had to have a couple surgeries, and it was 1 year later, she was still recovering from that surgery, and God, in his providence, said, I'm going to give her a multi-million dollar settlement, because a little guy named Kevin Hornsby and his wife JoJo are going to come through here, and they're going to be faithful to preach the gospel, and that girl's going to say, I don't know what to do with all this money God's given me, so I'm going to give you $100,000 of it. That's how our God works. Listen, God, his arm is not short that he cannot save. Are you hearing me? His storehouse is not empty. It's full this morning, Ebenezer. And whatever you need that is within the will of God, you ask in Jesus' name and the Father provides it. Now, either we believe that or we don't. And so we took that $100,000 gladly and said thank you. And we bought a motorhome. So sitting in the back corner of your parking lot, just to the right of the entrance of the gym, is another Ebenezer. If you don't have much hope this morning, come here, come close, I want to tell you something. If you came here this morning and your hope level's really low, when you get in your car to leave here today, take a picture of that motorhome sitting in the corner over there and just remember that's an Ebenezer of what our God can do. And everywhere we go, we're going to tell this story as a testimony of what God can do if we'll just believe him. My wife told her sister, God's going to give it to us? Okay. Can you imagine what she was thinking when we pulled up in this beautiful, amazing motorhome that meets our expectations and needs far beyond anything we could have asked for? That's what our God does. Beyond what we can think or imagine. Who I feel like preaching in this house this morning. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13 says, now abide faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now abide faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now, church, I'll be honest with you. I did go to Bible college, and I do have a degree in theology, which I have come to find out over years of studying God's Word means absolutely nothing, except that I finished something. But this verse perplexes me, because doesn't Paul use 12 verses to talk about what love is and what love is not? And he said that if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love in my heart, I am nothing. He spent 12 verses telling us. He said, if I can do all these things, if I give gifts to people, but I don't have love whenever I give it, it's nothing, it means nothing. The sound of my voice is like a tinkling cymbal over and over again. It's meaningless. But the salutation of this great chapter, one of the greatest in the Word of God, is faith, hope, and love. Could it be that Paul was trying to get us to love with this salutation? Listen, there are some prickly people on this planet. Am I right about it? There are some people that you are thinking of right now that you do not love. You don't even like them, much less love them. Am I right? Y'all looking all serious and stuff up in here this morning. Yeah, I know. There's some people that you'd rather not spend time. Well, how do I love those people? I think Paul sums up this great chapter by giving us something that tells us how to have the capacity to love. I mean, how do you love hard to love people? Listen, you're having a hard enough time just loving your spouse. Am I right? Because they drive you crazy. Huh? I drive her crazy too. She chooses to love me. Listen, there is a divine progressive order here that is so deep that I believe it's life-changing for somebody today. Somebody who's lost hope. Somebody who's lost their capacity to really love. Somebody who's lost their capacity to even love themselves this morning. And the answer to it is found in this one verse. Can I give it to you like this? And if you have something to write with, you're going to want to write this down. I'm telling you, I know some of you don't take notes in church, but even take out your phone and hit the little notes button. I'm telling you, you're going to need this again. I shared a little bit of this at a Bible study about 3 weeks ago with the Potter's House for Women. Women who are addicted to drugs, and they come into a program for about 7 months, and I shared a little bit of this. We went back last Wednesday night, and there's a teenage girl there who has been on drugs, and she's been in the rehab program for a while, and she said, Pastor Kevin, I don't know if I can take anything else that you give us tonight. She said, because I'm not over what you told us 2 weeks ago. She said, I have been sharing that everywhere I go. She said, it makes so much sense to me. If I'm low on hope and my capacity to love is weak, I know I got to go back to my foundation of faith. And Paul was giving us a revelation here, folks, that is a cycle of life that so many Christians miss. And here it is. Write this down. Faith gives you a reason to hope. Faith gives you a reason to hope. Hope gives you a reason to love. Hope gives you a reason to love. And love gives you a reason to live. Love gives you a reason to live. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. See, someone has said that love is a decision, not an emotion, where there are emotions attached to it, but they're right. But it goes deeper than that, church, because you can't start with love. That's why Paul signed off on chapter 13 in this way. He said, I try to love, but I don't know how to love, and I don't even love myself. I mean, how do I love? Paul is telling us how to love. It doesn't start with love. It doesn't even start with hope. It starts with faith. We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And as we follow Him, He gives us hope. And the higher your hope meter goes, the more love you will have for yourself and for those that God puts in your path. Woo, I don't care who you are. That's good preaching. Are y'all hearing me, church? Funny, Claire Luce said, there are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless in their situation. A man approached a Little League baseball game, and he came up to his grandson in the dugout, and he said, I'm sorry I'm late for the game. What's the score? And his grandson said, it's 18-0. We're behind. And the grandfather said, to his grandson, I guess you're discouraged. And he said, Grandpa, why would I be discouraged? He said, we haven't even gotten up to bat yet. Listen, that's the kind of hope that I'm preaching this morning. It's still the top of the... We got the whole rest of the game. Yeah, things look bad right now. But listen, my God knows the score. Listen, that's why we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, people. Because He's already seen the end of the game. He already knows who wins. We just get our cues from Jesus. Are you hearing me? Ooh, I can't wait for camp. I can't... you know, some of y'all... Maybe after this morning you say, yeah, I'm coming back because I want to be a part of camp. Maybe we just have a camp for seniors. Amen? Putting myself in that category. I saw a t-shirt in Walmart that had a pink unicorn on the front of it. Could I get an amen? Anybody here like unicorns? What is wrong? That's it. We're packing up. Let's go. I don't really like unicorns either, but it was a pink unicorn with a rainbow saddle and a gold metallic glitter horn. I sound very feminine right now, don't I? Sorry. You know what the caption was on the shirt? I almost bought it. It was a small, and as you can see, I'm not a small, so I didn't buy it. I would love to buy that shirt and wear it on a Sunday morning in a church like Ebenezer, because it said on the caption, I want to believe. Church, that is faith. I love the man in the scripture when he said, Jesus, will you heal my daughter? And Jesus said, do you believe? And he said, I believe. Help my unbelief. That's faith. That's real faith. You can't conjure it up. You decide to believe. Are you hearing me? I've read this verse so many times. And I prayed, God, help me understand why it's faith, hope, and love. I mean, why isn't it love first? I mean, love is the greatest of all. Love is the greatest of all because it transcends time. Will you need faith when you get to heaven? It is quiet up in Ebenezer this morning. It's not a trick question. What will you need to have faith for when you get to heaven? Jesus will be there. Are you hearing me? You will see Him face to face. Paul said, I see right now through a dim glass, through a dark glass, but when I see Him face to face, I will know even as I am known. Amen? You won't need any faith when you get... Will you need hope when you get to heaven? When you get to heaven, what will you be hoping for? It's heaven! Are you following me? That's why love is the greatest of all. John Lennon said, all we need is love. That's a lie! That's a lie! What we need is faith in God. We need to decide, church, to believe. And somebody came in here this morning and you were low on hope and you're struggling to love even yourself. And I came to tell you all the way from Jackson, Georgia, that God is available and God has everything that you will ever need. And if you will put your faith and trust in Him, you will have hope. Let me say it this way. If you have no faith, you have no hope. Is that too hard? Boy, that's not politically correct. What if I believe in Buddha? Hare Krishna. What if I'm a Mormon? What if I believe in Islam? What if I pray to Allah? You have no hope. You have no hope outside of Jesus Christ the righteous. You believe that, church? It's funny how in our lifestyle, many of us do not live like we believe that. And that's why God called some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers to help remind the sheep that we've got to get our focus and our eyes on Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. You know, the enemy, if he can destroy your decision to trust God, then he can take away all your hope. And if you have no hope, he can nullify your capacity to love. And why are so many people so miserable? You still with me, church? If you're with me, say uh-huh. Why do people have to take a pill to go to bed and a pill to wake up and a pill after lunch to get through the day? Why are people so miserable? Why are so many people filled with anxiety and fear and dread and worry? Why? They don't have any hope. They don't have any hope. And the root of it is they aren't really putting their faith and trust in God. Listen, a good prayer for us to pray is, dear God, help. Amen. There was a preacher in Gainesville, Florida, the church we were going to when we were serving at Camp Anderson down there, and we'd go on Sundays and hear him preach. And before every message, he said, "Dear God," he said, "let's bow for prayer. Dear God, help. Amen." That impressed me. Why? Because he is showing his dependence on God. Listen to me, church. Come close. God will never allow you to live a life where he becomes unnecessary. Did you hear what I said? We get so confused because we have expectations, don't we? See, we're rich and fat. Don't be offended. In America, we have listen, compared to 2/3 of the rest of the world, everybody in this room is filthy, stinking rich. Am I right? Blessed beyond measure. But the truth is, the more we get, the more we want. And we set our own expectation. And then we say, I had hope, but God didn't come through for me. He let me down. No, that's not hope. Listen, God never promised that he would meet your expectation. But he did promise that he'd be true to his word. Amen? God is always on time. Well, whose time is he on? Because he was late last? No, no. He's not on our time. He's on his time, church. See, we honor him by praying prayers like, dear God, help. Amen. Here's a better prayer. Dear God, what do you want? Amen. I mean, most of our prayers are, God, I want, I want, and I want, and God, I want you to, and God, I want, and I want, and I want. Wouldn't it be refreshing to a holy God to hear humanity finally say to him, God, what do you want? What do you want in this decision for my life in the future? What do you want for my child who's fixing to go off to college? God, what do you want in me taking on this new business venture? God, what do you want in this upcoming relationship? God, what do you want? Listen, if we will get our expectation from God, we will never be disappointed. I'll say amen to that. Amen, preacher. Preach it. Glory to God. We need faith. We need faith. We need faith. Well, we need to love everybody. You don't have the capacity to love if you don't have faith. If you don't have hope, you can't love. And listen, if you're here this morning and you've been just about hopeless, you got to turn your eyes to Jesus. You got to get back in this book. And someone said, if you'll read this book, you'll hear God's voice. You got to get in this book. You got to spend time in prayer. Do we spend more time in entertainment every day than we do in the thing that is most important? Entertainment will not bring you hope. Entertainment will not increase your capacity to love. Only faith will do that. And so in the few minutes that I have left, I want to give you three things. You say, Pastor Kevin, show me. Show me. Show me. Let me show you. Romans. If you have time, turn here right quick because I want you to mark your Bible. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. When you're there, say, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All right, two people are there. We're good to go. Romans 15, 13. This is important. I'm going to take time for it. I want to show it to you in Scripture because I don't want to just take one verse and for anyone to walk out of here today and say, well, you know how evangelists are. They're so topical. He pulled one verse out of context. No, I want to show you in the Word of God. This is repeated over and over and over and over again. And I want to show it to you at least in two verses. Romans 15, 13 says, may the God of hope, he's a God of what? I can't hear you. He's a God of what? He's a God of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? In believing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. See, the believing comes first and then the hope comes after that. Do you see it in the Word of God? So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Is anyone in here, you say, man, I'm barely hanging on. I mean, I have hope, but see, David said in the Psalms, he didn't say, I have hope in God. He said, I hope in the Lord. Hope is the verb. Hope is an action word. He said, he didn't say I have hope. He said, I hope in the Lord. Romans 5 and verse 2 says, through him, that is Jesus, we have also obtained access. How? By faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What comes first? Faith in Jesus Christ. What comes next? Hope in the Lord. Are you hearing me? It's faith, hope, and love. I know it's 9:58. Everybody good? Hey, let me give you these three things. Man, this is the practical part of it. There's so many things that I could say. Here's three questions that hold us back from believing. Man, I hope this is practical for you. Three questions that hold us back from believing. Number one, why does it have to be so hard? Could I get an amen in the house? Well, why does it have to be so? I mean, I know God wants me to have faith in Him, but why does it have to be so hard? Have you ever asked that question? I asked it like yesterday when I was setting the motorhome up in your parking lot. Why does this have to be so hard? Why can't it just be easy? So I want you to write down somewhere these three things. Number one, it has to be hard. It has to be hard. Why, Pastor Kevin, does it have to be hard? Because someone once said, when you get down to nothing, God is up to something. Have you noticed that God likes doing things the right way? His way. Woo, I can't get no amens in the house this morning. God, and that usually means when you do something the right way, I'm talking to the right generation for this right here. When you do something the right way, that usually means the hard way. Could I get an amen? And do it right the first time. Man, I'm looking at some men in here. We just built a gable roof over top of a 16 by 24 deck. And how many of you ever built a gable roof before? YouTube is not much help. Can I just... It's hard! Yeah, I'm talking to you. I love your talent. I love it. He's the total package. He's so handsome. Got that curly hair. Plays guitar. Sings so good. I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell him something. Y'all just sit there for a minute. Do hard things. Don't just do what comes easy. You feel offended? No. You will before it's over. Do hard things. Get up early in the morning. Go to bed at night so you can get a good night's rest. Are y'all following this? Yeah, get up early. Why? Because there's so much to do in this day. God has a plan. I got to get in His Word and find that plan. I got to ask God, what does He want today? Are you hearing me? Why does it have to be so hard? It has to be hard because if it wasn't hard, you'd think it was you and you would just trust in yourself. If success was easy, everybody'd be doing it. If it came easy, it wouldn't stay. It would go away. Are you hearing me? The easy way does not require a miracle. The easy way does not require faith, which leads to hope, which increases your capacity to love in this life. May I give you an example? I just happen to have in my pocket a Super Bowl. Every good 54-year-old carries a Super Bowl in their pocket. And when I was 10, I used to always have one. But I got this because, you know what a Super Bowl is made for? Tell me. Bounce. How's that Super Bowl going to do on this carpet? Not very good. Now, if I threw it against the wall, I'm going to try to be dignified because even though this is Camp Sunday, this is not camp. So I'm not going to throw it, okay? But if I try to bounce it on the carpet, it doesn't do very good, does it? But if I had a hard surface and I really bounced this thing, it might hit three walls before it stopped. Y'all hear me? See, you are made out of something like a Super Bowl. And God knows the harder it is that he bounces you against, the higher you are going to go. The purpose for which you were made means you're going to have to come against some hard things in this life. And when you do, it's going to propel you higher than you ever dreamed you could possibly go. Are you hearing me? So I came to church today and learned that I'm a Super Bowl. Yeah, next time you hit something hard, just say, okay, buckle your seatbelt, because I'm fixing to go really high this time. The harder it is, the higher you go. It has to be hard. Number two, why does it have to be hidden? This is good. Why does it have to be hidden? Write this down. It has to be hidden. You know why? Because God always hides the good stuff. Amen? And so do you. The cakes, the pies, the Krispy Kreme donuts, the double stuffed Oreos, a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. Am I right about it? Huh? Y'all, don't look at me so sanctimoniously. Somebody in this room has a stash of candy, and you've had it since last October. Am I right about it? No confessions in here this morning, huh? It has to be hard. It has to be hidden. Why? Because God hides the good stuff, and he only gives it to those who believe by faith. See, the good stuff can only be deceived. You say, well, I trust God, but here's the question. Can God trust you with the good stuff? Are you hearing me this morning? You say, well, I just don't understand why it has to be such a mystery. I mean, why don't God, if God told you everything you wanted to know right now, your hair would be on fire as you ran out of this room. You couldn't take it. It has to be hidden. Trust him. If it wasn't hidden, why would you need to have faith? If you knew it all, what would you need God for? Are you hearing me this morning? Ooh, I am preaching. And then number three, our time is up, so let me just say this. Why did that have to happen? This hinders us from faith. Don't say it doesn't. Somebody in here, you've been suppressing something that happened to you in your life maybe years and years ago, and you don't want to think about it and you don't want to talk about it, but it has caused great bitterness in your life and it has squashed your capacity to love. And every day your hope gets weaker and weaker and weaker because this thing happened and you don't understand. And instead of having faith in God about it, we are allowing that to crush our faith in God and question everything about it. Has anything ever happened in your life that caused you to question God's authenticity? Oh, I'm preaching now. Has anything ever happened in your life that caused you to question God's authority? Huh? I have. Grew up in a trailer park. I was a sexually molested child from 5 to 10 years old. I didn't know why God would allow that to happen to me. I was a baby. Are you hearing me? But I sat across the table from camper after camper after camper at Camp Anderson, and they said I was a sexually molested child. I didn't just sympathize with them. I could empathize with them, and I could tell them how God allowed me through his grace to overcome all of that in my past. And what the enemy meant to use to destroy my life is now a weapon in my hand that I use against the enemy in order to bring other people to Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? Why did it had to happen? Why? Because God knows that you're not going to make it without faith in him. You've got to put your faith in him. Why? Because if you don't have any faith, you don't have any hope. And if you don't have any hope, you are going to be miserable in this life. Because what is life without love? Somebody sitting here this morning is saying to yourself right now, I wish this white guy would shut up and sit down. But somebody else in here this morning is saying to yourself, this is it. This is the answer to my misery. This is the answer to my depression. This is the answer to my anxiety. Hear the preacher. This morning, I just came to help you. If you'll put your faith in God. Listen, I have control issues too. Can you tell? I know what time it is. I have control issues too. But if I have to control it, that's not faith. If I have to know the outcome before I commit to it, that's not faith in God. That's faith in me. That's me making me God. That's me putting God on a humanity level and me putting myself above God as deity over my life. I can't live that way. Why? Because if I do, I won't have any hope and I won't have any capacity to love. Are you hearing me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you. Thank you for the time that we've had this morning to rehearse this simple truth. Lord, I'm a simple guy. I don't know very much, but I know this. The foundation of our life must be genuine, authentic faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, there's somebody sitting here in these moments, and they have not actually put their faith and trust in you. Lord, I pray in this moment that somebody here at Ebenezer would give their life to you in this moment and pledge to follow you with reckless abandon. Lord, change lives in this moment. Yeah, I know everybody at Ebenezer is a Christian, but I'm talking about a real follower of Christ. I'm talking about somebody, Lord, who loves you and puts you first and has faith to believe, even in a moment of crisis, that you're going to do what no one can do. Oh, God. Save souls in this last moment that we have together today. Lord, I pray some Christian who lost their hope would turn their eyes back to Jesus. Oh God, in this moment, bind the enemy away from this place. I plead the blood of Jesus over every body, soul, and spirit in this room. And I ask you, Spirit of God, to take control in these moments. Nothing more important we will do today than what we're about to do right now in this moment in Jesus' name. Hey, every head bowed for just a moment. You say, Pastor Kevin, you have been preaching to my heart. And the truth is, if I examine my life, I don't even know if I know God like that. I've prayed some prayers and I've been in a baptismal pool, but I don't have a relationship with God like that. And today I know I just need to, yield my will to a holy God by faith. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what he's going to change. I don't know what he's going to bring into my life, but by faith this morning, I just want to hand my life over to Jesus. Listen, if that's you, would you do that just right now where you're sitting? Just talk to him. Just like he's sitting right beside you. Just like he curled up right there in your lap. He loves you. He proved that he died for you. Are you hearing me? Right now in this moment, you say, Pastor Kevin, that's me. Then just talk to him. Say, Jesus, I invite you to come into my life and to be my Lord and my Savior and my King. I trust you right now by faith. In Jesus' name. Every head still bowed. You say, Pastor Kevin, I prayed that prayer right now and I meant it with all my heart. If that's you, would you hold your hand up real quick? I just want to see it. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Is there somebody else? Thank you. I see you. Put it down. Is there somebody else? Looking to my right, to your left. Put it up real quick. Wow, the boldness of this gentleman to raise his hand here this morning. Somebody else. I prayed that prayer with you. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I'm popping my hand up because I want you to pray for me in this closing prayer. Is there somebody else? I prayed that prayer. I invited Christ into my life, and I'm going to live for him by faith from this moment forward. I wonder if there's Christians here this morning. You say, Pastor Kevin, God spoke to my heart. I need to turn my eyes back to Jesus. That's it. I need to turn my eyes back to Jesus. If that's your testimony in this moment, can I see your hand? Just shoot it up real quick. I need to turn my eyes back to Jesus. Come on, come on, come on, church. Come on, church. I need to turn my eyes back to Jesus. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, you see our hearts, you know our motives. Lord, I pray for every person in this room, Lord, who may be at a moment of decision, but they're not used to responding like this, and that's okay. Lord, I pray that you would use the Word of God to permeate their heart. Don't let the enemy steal these seeds of truth, God. And Lord, I pray that you continue to do great things in this house and in this community, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Will you stand with me, please?
Thank you, Kevin. And if you, just like Kevin said, if you made a decision today, if you prayed that prayer when Kevin offered that, or you raised your hand, you didn't raise your hand, you should have. Walk right through those Connection Center doors. There's people in there right now that are ready to talk to you about that, to pray with you, to come alongside you in any way. Kevin's going to be here with us during student camp coming up in June. Every night we know that we'll see lives change in teenagers all across Northeast Georgia. And so be in prayer for that. Also, remember to sign up for camp. Camp is coming up on us quick. We kind of need to know who's coming. And so it's $75. It covers the T-shirt and the food. We're taking care of the rest of that. But today is the last day to get that price because we need to know who's coming. So make sure you sign up there. And like I said, Kevin will be there with us. Our student band will be leading that day, and Crosby's involved. We have many speakers that will be involved that day, and it's going to be a great day in the lives of teenagers and all people of all ages all across Northeast Georgia that week. So we have Mother's Day is our next big thing on the calendar, so that will be next Sunday. Remember to go to our website, click on that Mother's Day link, and tell us why your mom is amazing. If you have your mom, if your mom's gone on to be with the Lord, tell us why your mom is or why your mom was amazing. We're going to do something cool with those in an anonymous way next Sunday on Mother's Day. So it's great to see you. Glad you were here. Have a great day. You're dismissed.